Well, Obed, he didn't even say good friend, good preacher, or nothing, did he? I did. I was thinking about Mark talking about the Lord telling him he was to be the last. He was wrong. But I appreciate being here. I thank you for this church putting this on. I appreciate the fellowship, and I appreciate being saved. Amen. I thank the Lord for saving me. And I know probably most of you never heard my testimony, but I give it quite often. And the reason that I do, it's the most precious thing in my life. And there's not many days go by that I don't think about that night in that hotel room. And I think about what the Lord done for me. And I want to talk to you, but you know, we've been talking about, and I'm just going to be here just for a few minutes anyway. I've been informed that we might go eat a pizza and for me to be a one-pager tonight. Brianna and Luke and Abby used to, when they'd go to church, they'd come in on Sunday mornings and they'd say, "Papa, how many pages you going to preach today?" And sometimes, and then so, it's just going to be a one-pager. I may remember, now you might not, if you was in a religious system like I was, it used to be when the church got without a pastor, they would send out a pulpit committee. You ever heard of that? And they'd go listen to the preacher, and then they would talk to him, and then they'd invite him to come and preach, and he'd try out, you know. Brother Moore used to do a little thing like that, so somebody asked if I'd do that again. We've been talking about right division. And I found out over the years, people don't really care what you say. They're more interested in how you say it. And so this pulpit committee went to listen to this young preacher. And I want you to, I wrote it down what he was preaching about. And what he was preaching about was the Good Samaritan. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. And he comes to this and he said, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went down to Jericho by night. And he fell upon stony ground. And the thorns choked him half to death. And he said, 'What shall I do? I will arise and go to my father's house.' And he arose and climbed up into a sycamore tree. The next day, Solomon and his wife Gomorrah came by and found him and carried him down to the ark for Moses to take care of him. But as he was going through the eastern gate into the ark, he caught his hair on a limb. And he hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was afterward hungered, and the ravens came and fed him. The next day, three wise men came to see him and carried him down to Nineveh. And when he got down there, he found Delilah sitting on the wall. And he said, 'Chuck her down, boys.' And they said, 'Well, how many times shall we chuck her down? Till seven times? Nay, but,' he said, 'but until 70 times. And they chunked her down 490 times. And she burst asunder in their midst. And they picked up 12 baskets of her fragments that was left. Now, gentlemen, my question to you tonight is, in the resurrection after having seven husbands, whose wife will she be? Chairman of the board said, "Boy, I'm telling you, we need to call him as our pastor. I know he's young, but he sure knows his Bible." You know, that's about the way it is, isn't it? People are not interested in what you say as much as how you say it. And so I want to talk to you about what is a grace believer. You know, I was thinking about faith. The Bible says, "For I'm not ashamed," Paul said in Romans 1:16, "of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And I want you to understand, and to finish it out, he says, he quotes Habakkuk. But the Holy Spirit doesn't quote Habakkuk like he wrote it in Habakkuk. But he said, "And the just shall live by faith." But Habakkuk says his faith. I just wanted you to understand, I believe that God had faith in His Son. God the Father had faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had faith in the Father that He would do what He said He'd do. And I praise the Lord tonight for grace. And I think about grace. What is a grace believer? Well, number one, look in Ephesians chapter 2. I believe the grace believer is someone that believes salvation by grace, without any works whatsoever. There is no work to be done. Now, I hope you'll pray for my throat. June's been sick and all that, and I thought, well, I'm doing pretty good. And then Brother Mark preached, "The Lord don't do things like that," and he burst my bubble, and so now my throat's starting to get scratchy. So, yeah. You know, and I appreciate the messages, all of them. These are the greatest preachers in the country today. And if you live close to a Bible study and you got our church, you ought to thank God for that. And you ought to go there to learn and fellowship with believers and everything. All we have is each other. And there ain't no need in putting the brakes on. I mean, just let her go and get on with the job God called us to do. And we're in the dispensation of grace. And the Lord ain't sending this or sending that. He's not bringing His wrath on the world today. You realize if God judged one sinner today, He'd have to judge every sinner in the world? I mean, if He's a just God, and He is, if He judged for one, if He judged one part of the world, He'd have to judge all the world. And someday He will. Someday He's coming to judge and to make war. That's the opposite of grace and peace. We live in the greatest dispensation in this Bible. You're sealed by the until the day of redemption when you're saved. No other people in the Bible can say that. I mean, I thank God that the Lord let me hear the gospel. And I thank God that He let me be born where He let me be born. And now I can say I'm saved by His grace. I'm a grace believer. Now, I don't go with the grace movement and all that stuff. I'm a grace believer because this is God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2. You know the verse. The Bible said in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Look over in Titus, very familiar, nothing about this sermon. In Titus chapter, look in chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, in verse 5, he said there, verse 4, "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Well, you know that. When did that happen? When did God show His kindness and love toward man appear? Well, I believe in the dispensation of grace, it was at the appearing of the Apostle Paul. People say, well, you make too much of Paul. I'm just doing what Paul did. Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentile. I magnify my office. If he magnified the office, why can't we magnify his office? And I think we should magnify his office. He said, if you was back in Israel's day and you wanted to follow the Lord back then, who would you follow? You'd have to follow Moses and the statutes and the commandment that Moses got on the mount. And he brought them down. And he wrote them down. And there are over 600 of different commandments. You'd follow the Lord through the writings of Moses, through his leadership. Well, what's the difference today? You follow the Lord through the writings of the Apostle Paul because the dispensation of grace was given to him to you-ward. The only way you can be saved today is by grace through faith. Where are you going to find that? You can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why, you look over there in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5. I've heard people say, well, boy, I wish I could live back in Jesus' day. Well, he wouldn't have touched you with a 10-foot pole. He would have ignored you. You couldn't have got caught. He would have just went on his way and paid you no, never mind. That's what he did in Matthew 15. And finally, that woman, after she come to him, he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread, the gospel of the kingdom, and to cast it in the dogs. And folks, she said, truth, Lord. She took her place, and she was under the table. Well, I'm not waiting on no crumbs to fall from the table. I'm not under the table wanting a crumb here and a crumb there. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Everything that Jesus Christ has, brother, I got it. You're looking at the richest man in Chattanooga right now. I'm just not where my riches is at. But I'm going there one day. Thank God I'm going there. I get, folks, this is real to me. Now look at this thing. Now I'm not some special thing. Me and June don't go down the hall every day and meet one another quoting scripture to one another. But I'm saved. And I believe this Bible. And I believe that God gave us an apostle and He magnified him. Now look what in Matthew chapter 5. You can't do this. Look in verse 19. He said, Matthew 5:19, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now watch verse 20. And I want you to see and think with me if you can do verse 20. He said, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, how in the world was their righteousness going to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? Well, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, it says there, it shall be our righteousness if we do the commandments of the Lord. And so their righteousness was to do the commandments. Look down with me in verse 22. Verse 21. He said, for ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Is that a commandment? Yes, it is. Well, who's them of old time? That'd be Moses, wouldn't it? He said, and whosoever shall kill, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now I guarantee you, there ain't many times you driving along that you ain't said that fool. Now look at this thing. They're right, the commandment of the Lord. So to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, they had to do the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 27. He said, verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's another commandment, isn't it? But look what he said. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Boy, that's even stronger commandment. That's exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. That's why when you get over to the book of John, you find that they had to keep his commandments. And it's the commandments of the Lord for that kingdom, brother. And that was the only way. They had to keep his commandments. And I want to tell you something. There'd be a bunch of blind, one-eyed men in here if we was under that law right now. Amen? Because look at the next verse. He said, verse 29, and if thy right eye pluck thee, offend thee, pluck it out. Now, folks, I'm honest with you. I mean, you can't keep that. This is not grace. Your salvation, everything that needed to be done, has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing you can do about that. It's already a done deal. All you need to do is receive it for yourself. The problem with people today is they won't receive it for them. They don't never see their self in the eyes of the Lord like the Lord sees them. They see, well, look back in Proverbs. We'll look back in Proverbs 16. In Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are dirty in his own eyes. No. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Look over in chapter 21. In Proverbs chapter 21, notice what he said in verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Look back in chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Folks, I want to tell you, God, I know the Lord wrote this Bible, because man wouldn't say what he about man, he wouldn't put it down in this book. We're sinners. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by action. Every one of us. There's none of us in here. None good. No, not one. We need a Savior. And that Savior went to a cross. And that Savior died for our sins. And He was buried. And God raised Him the third day for our justification. You can be saved tonight. That is the gospel of your salvation. That is what you need to believe to be saved. It's whosoever shall believe and receive. Look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, we're saved by grace. That's a grace believer. Salvation by grace. No works. You know, I never did get to verse 5 in Titus, did I? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize today that's not you? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You never had the Holy Spirit to renew. That's the washing of regeneration. He came up, a quickening spirit. Now think about, He came up through that rock. He didn't have, the angel didn't move the rock to let Him out. He just went through the rock. Thank God we're going to be, we bared the image of the earthly Adam, and someday we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised, Paul said, a quickening spirit. You realize, and he said, Mary started to touch. She didn't even know him. She thought he was a gardener. They didn't realize the resurrection had to even come. And they thought somebody stole the body of Jesus. And all of a sudden, she says, Mary. And she turns and says, Rabbi and Master. And she starts, and he said, touch me not. That's the head. That's the Lord of glory right there. That was the quickening spirit, the head of the body. He goes off, he said, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. And before they could get gone very far, he came back. You know what he came back as? The Son of Man. He said, here, you touch me now. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, he led the captivity captive. And gave gifts unto men. I believe the captivity captive is the body of Christ. Amen. And I believe He took that body. We're the body of Christ. We have His identity now. And now you know you're saved by His grace. And you realize, as Brother Mark said, you're in the Spirit. I have people say, well, how can I walk in the Spirit? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I want you to know, you're in the body of Christ, that spiritual body. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you were baptized by the Spirit into that body. And you don't have your identity anymore. I have His identity. There is neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew or Gentile. I'm in Christ. I'm identified in Christ. I have His righteousness put to my account. God doesn't see me as old Brian anymore. He sees me as His Son, thank God. Amen. That's grace. Amen. You know, I think about grace, and I've said it many times. The grace of God to me is this. The Lord never looked at me and said, at night, 19 years old in that hotel room, He never said, boy, oh, Brian's going to do this. Brian's going to do that. Man, Brian's going to live for me here. Oh, yeah, Brian's going to be a good one. I'm going to save him. No. Boy, he fails me here. His whole life is a flop. He ain't no good for nothing. But boy, I could show my grace. He saved me for His own will and purpose according to Ephesians chapter 1. And 2 Timothy chapter 1. He talks about, well, let's turn there. Where did I tell you to go last? Just forget it and go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now you know, my problem is not having nothing to say. My problem is knowing what to say and not to say. I don't understand people not having something to say. We got a whole book. I had a real experience of one of my boss men I used to work for passed away. And I went to, they asked me to be a pallbearer. Now, I'm not used to being a pallbearer. And there, it was a strange type of thing there. and, you know, or they dip in water, and they do all sorts of things, and I'm looking around, you know. And I was with another friend of mine. He was a good old Baptist. And if you're Baptist, I'm not picking on you, because I was a Baptist. But he was a good old Baptist. And this pastor said that Brother So-and-so was a son of God by baptism, like all the sons of God. They're sons of God because they've been baptized. And he quoted Romans 6, and I looked at him, the old friend of mine. I said, you know, there ain't a drop of water in Romans 6.
Amen.
And he said, really? I said, Lord, I'm all alone. I have no help down here. But anyway, we're grace believers. We believe salvation is by grace. And then we believe that we're complete in Him. But look in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said in verse 8, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And you think if there ain't afflictions that go with the gospel of Christ, then you start preaching that Jesus Christ died for all of the sins of this world. And you don't have to confess them. I hit a stump there when I was plowing right there. 1 John 1:9 does not apply to you. Why would I want to bring up something God has already wiped clean? You say you don't tell Him how sorry. I tell Him how sorry. But why should I tell Him how sorry I am? He already knows that. You think I slip up on Him? Oh, Lord, Brian did that. I didn't see that coming. No. Hey folks, He forgave me of all sins. That's grace. But look what He says there, and you preach that, and there's afflictions. And He said in verse 9, I love this verse, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had a purpose in saving you. And it was God's will to save you. And God fixed it so you could be saved. And He fixed it so He could save you by sending His Son and delivering up His Son. And His Son went into death for you. And thank God He abolished, as Jerry said, that death.
Amen.
That eternal death. There is no death to a Christian. The saved, the member of the body of Christ. It's His own purpose. Turn to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 2. Maybe not again, but just turn there. I never forget, I'm trying to put on the brakes. And talking about brakes, me and June was up there mowing a couple years ago. And I got a tractor. I like my tractor. I got a mower behind it. I mean, it's a big tractor. It ain't no big tractor. It's bigger than you riding lawnmower, let me put it there. The Jubilee. And so she's, you know, we have up there at the roads a little ditch like. I think she got stuck in it or something, you know. So my tractor, I got off of it. So I had the wheels turned. I thought, well, I got her out. And I looked around. My tractor's going down the hill. I didn't put no brakes on it. She looked at me. I looked at her. I ain't running after that thing. Tractor just going down through there and went, hit the fence. And you know, I thought it was going. It went right between, just like you driving that thing right between two. If it would have hit that bush, it would have been all right. But it just went right in between the two and kept on getting it. I couldn't have drove it no straighter through there. There wasn't no need me saying, "Lord, stop that tractor." I know he would have said, "Hey, you got brakes on the thing, use them." Though I'm trying to hook the brakes, I ain't forgot that. But anyway, and my watermelons, I give up on watermelons. The Lord showed me up on that one. But I'm going to try to plant some this year. Somebody's asked me about them. But we're complete. Now I want you to look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." And that's not when He was 8 days old. That circumcision happened on that cross, I believe. The body of the sins of the flesh is like the body of evidence that they got against you. "Who is he that condemneth?" Paul cries in Romans 8. "It is Christ that died." Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Folks, there is nothing that God can see in you that is unclean anymore. You ought to thank God for that. You're complete. Amen. People think that going and getting in a watery whatever does something for them. Well, it does. It gets them wet. But it does nothing for you spiritually. Nothing. And the baptisms that Paul writes about in Galatians and Romans and Corinthians, we're baptized by one Spirit, not with one Spirit. It's by one Spirit. We don't have the baptism with the Spirit. They were baptized with the Spirit for power. Why? Well, they're going down in that wilderness. They're going through the wrath of God. The water will be turned to wormwood. There'll be poison in the water. Snakes, vipers, whatever. But they'll be protected. Why? They have the baptism with the Spirit. But you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. You have His identity. You don't need that power to go through the trip because you're saved from wrath. Thank God. Boy, you can't beat that with snuff. That young man came to our house. He has two children, two. And he came and big old tears, and I didn't know what was happening. But he'd been watching something about the end of the world and the rapture. And I'm too busy playing. I'm either reading or playing Candy Crush. I don't play no more. When I want to take a break from reading, I go play Candy Crush. And a lot of times you'll see June on one couch with feet propped up, me on the other with feet propped up, and we got our little Kindles playing Candy Crush. Now, I need all the lives. If you want to send me a life, you go ahead and send me a life. But now, if you don't know what I'm talking, you don't. How many here plays Candy Crush? Y'all lying. There you go. So I didn't know nothing about this till I got Thursday nights when he came over to the house, and he said he'd been listening to that, and he said, I don't believe it's going to happen. But he looked at me in tears, got in his eyes, and he said, "But could it happen? Could the rapture take place? Could we be that close?" And I looked at him, I said, well, let me tell you this. I don't know when it's going to be, but you mark her down, it's going to be. Someday is going to be the last of the dispensation of grace. And he said, if it happened, I'm lost. He'd heard the gospel for years. They'd been married for years. I believe 10 or 12 years been coming to the church. You know the historical facts of the gospel. But until you believe it and receive it for yourself, the night I got saved, I wasn't worried about the world. It wasn't no general thing that Christ died for the world. I was concerned with me. I wanted to be saved. And I'm like Brother Jerry, I didn't know nothing. I'm not saying he didn't know nothing there. But he said he didn't know that. I didn't know. I couldn't have told you anything. But I knew I was lost. And I was miserable. And I'll never forget. And I got down. I didn't know no better. I got down and I began to say, Lord, I'm lost. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. And I remember, I just opened my eyes and looked up and I said, Lord, I know you died for me. And you know when I said that? That's when it, bam. Peace. It dawned on me. He died for me. For me. I didn't worry about Steve. I didn't know Steve. It was for me he went to that cross. He died for my sins. And he's my Savior because of what he did for me. That's grace. I'm complete in Christ. All the body of the sins of the evidence that could be pointed toward me and accuse me and say that, yes, you are a sinner. They're gone. And I believe the intercession of Romans chapter 8, when Christ intercedes for us. I don't think every time you stump your toe, or I was out there, and I know my time's gone. Well, I ain't too far off. But I was down there and I ripped my thumbnail off couple weeks back, and I tore it plumb off. It just, you could lay it back on the thing, but it wouldn't come off. Now, folks, when that happened, I didn't sing Amazing Grace. I didn't say thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to tell you what I said. Well, I don't believe when that happened that the Lord jumped up off his seat and run over to the Father and said, he's mine. I don't believe every time you do something wrong, Jesus jumps up and says, hey, don't do that. Can't accuse him. I believe the resurrection. I believe the fact that God, he was the propitiation. He satisfied God for me and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Him being there is my intercession. And he's there. And I can't wait to see him one day. Thank you for putting up with me tonight, Brother Steve.